Recording in progress.
Welcome to our meeting. It's Thursday, August 17th, 2023. Time is 2:50. This is a special meeting that we've called along with the tracks and to address some issues that we've been having. I'm going to start off with Mr. Trejo over here.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. If we could just do the roll call vote real quick in approval of the agenda.
Here.
Billy Smith?
Here.
David Hossi Sanchez?
Here.
Margaret Brown? Bob Petrie?
Here.
The approval of the agenda, there's I need a motion to approve the agenda. There's just no items, but anyways.
So moved.
My Zoom just gave out, sorry.
Recording in progress.
How many people are on the line?
I'll give you a count here in a second.
Fell off again?
You guys pay the electricity?
Excuse me?
The bill?
The electricity is not the internet.
That's the game control board, though.
Recording in progress.
Okay. Carry on now.
Let's see if it sticks this time.
Okay, motion to approve the agenda.
So moved, Commissioner Smith.
Second, Buffington.
I got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, read also Downs' presentation.
If I may speak first, yes, okay. Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that. And then we do have our other speakers here, and I thank them very much. commission, members of the racetrack industry, we all know why we're here today. It's for serious reason in which we've experienced some fatalities at our racetracks here in New Mexico. And they come in a pretty good batch last weekend at Ruidoso Downs. You know, and I, being at the racetrack my whole life, 52 years of it, I know when these things happen. We've seen it at Churchill Downs, we've seen it at Santa Anita a handful of years ago. The finger pointing starts immediately. It's the racetrack's fault, it's the track surface, it's the trainer's fault, it's this guy's fault, it's that guy's fault. But what I don't want to do today is point fingers at all. What I'm more in favor of, hey, let's find solutions as an industry here to start some initiatives to minimize the number of horses that decease on our racing ovals. So that being said, I've had discussions with our industrial laboratory, our official laboratory in Wheat Ridge, Colorado. I've met and had conversations with Ruidoso Downs Track Management, the AQHA with Miss Janet Van Bever, our official veterinarian, Dr. Lowe, who is on Zoom for any questions should the commissioners have any. And we're all focused on trying to fix and keep this from happening the way it has recently. So with that being said, I think we got some great minds in our industry here, and I have to be very blunt and straight. We could do this, we could do that, but the solutions start with the people. We are the stewards of these horses. We are the ones that oversee them. We are the ones that need to protect them. They don't speak. We have to speak for them. And I applaud Dr. Lowe and Dr. Alyssa Butler that are down there at Redoso doing everything they can to advocate for these horses. And I'm real pleased with the way they've been handling this. And of course, everyone's distraught over this matter, but nonetheless, sleeves got to get rolled up, start these initiatives to progress forward. We don't have the good fortune of being Kentucky with having all these resources to bring in all this machinery to look these horses over. We're not California. Those are two larger jurisdictions that experienced heightened catastrophic breakdowns over the last 3 years. This is New Mexico, and I can assure you that this racing commission, every day that we're here, does everything they can to advocate for the horse. We may not have the best resources at all or the best personnel, but I know one thing that's true and true. The horse is in the forefront of our mind when we're doing what we're doing is regulating racing. That being said, if I may start briefly of some initiatives that the New Mexico Racing Commission, along with their regulatory veterinarian, are going to implement for the next few weeks at Ruidoso Downs, specifically speaking to the qualifiers of the All-American Futurity, the All-American Derby, and the All-American Oaks. There's approximately 30 horses or so that we'll have strict oversight over. The agency, as of 2 weeks ago, contracted with the Ruidoso Downs veterinarian, Alyssa Butler, to assure that 100% of the horses participating on the All-American Futurity Trials were pre-race examined. We have the same contract for closing weekend at Ruidoso Downs, where all participants in the races on closing weekend will be pre-race examined. Currently, the performance measure for the agency is, and I'm embarrassed to say, but this is just because of the limited resources here, the agency's predominantly clicked at about a 20% rate at pre-race examination. So out of 100 horses on any given race day, we've been hitting approximately 20 to 30%. That was as of last year. This year, things have gotten better. We've got two new vets in the state of New Mexico that are helping out quite a bit, Dr. Lowe and Dr. Butler. And I think we've increased that rate quite a bit. And our best practice is 100%. We've got to get 100% of these horses pre-race examined. It shows that we're moving forward with this minor initiative, but the optics are pretty huge when each horse is pre-race examined. So we're doing that. These horses will be having blood drawn from them, and we'll get complete blood counts. In a horseman's perspective, you can tell a lot by a horse's physical well-being by getting complete blood counts. The veterinarians will take blood on each horse a handful of times before the big races, have it analyzed, see if the horses are showing any variations in their complete blood count. Complete blood count. The agency's also already, in conjunction with Ruidoso Downs, progressed with some a more extensive testing of biological samples, including the liver, the heart, the lungs, fatty tissue behind the eyes, and getting some forensic work done. There's some allegations of some wrongdoing on some horsemen's behalf. Well, we need to get to the bottom of it. That's why I want to steer clear of finger pointing and saying it's this, or this. This agency will not make an accusation just to make an accusation because everyone else says it. If we get evidence that there is illicit drug use being performed on these animals, then yes, we will hold them to the fire if we can catch them. There's going to be extensive monitoring of these horses by the official veterinarian. That includes while they're in their stall, while they're training in the morning up to these races, and after training. They'll be examined multiple times by the regulatory veterinarian. Anything suspicious to the bones will be x-rayed. Anything that looks suspicious in the soft tissues will be ultrasound by our regulatory veterinarians. And I have to give a lot of credit to Dr. Love. She's bringing in her own equipment from Arizona to do this and help us out with this. These horses, I've been speaking with Dr. Love for over the last few months as she's been contracted with us, as she's shown nothing but love for the racing animal. She cares about them. And I think that's what we all need to focus on. These are the guys that put the show on. It's not us. It's not the jockeys. It's not the horsemen. It's these fine animals that do the performance, and they're the ones that we need to take care of. Without them, we have no show. We're all out of jobs. So I just want to stress that, and I thank the commission for taking the time to allow us to have this special meeting to point the needle in the right direction for this industry here in New Mexico. Yeah, I stand for any questions.
I've got one quick question. What would it take, how many more vets would it take to be able to examine all the horses that are in trials?
That's an excellent question, Commissioner Smith, Mr. Chairman, the commissioners. The agency has, for years since I've been here, instituted in its strategic plan to hire at least 4 vets, 2 for each race meet. The funding has not come our way. Last year we swung for the fences to get adequate funding to hire vets, and vets are scarce. You're going to pay a premium for them. We didn't get the funding, so, and then we lost our one vet to retirement. And that's what we've been doing, this with one vet. Most jurisdictions have multiple vets at the racetrack on any given race day. We're doing it with one, which is why our performance measure of only 20% of pre-race examination on these horses is so low. There's just not enough man hours for one person to go out, pre-race examine every horse on that card, and then go do the duties of the test barn veterinarian as well. So we struggle in that area. So I'm going to say at least 4, 2 at each race meet, but 4 total on staff is what I'd love to have.
How much money would that cost the agency?
The way we're figuring it, just a little under $800,000.
What do we have budgeted in that now? What do we pay out now?
Well, we're contracted at $1,000 per day approximately right now with our one vet that we have contracted. But unfortunately, there's some rules from the General Services Department that the agency can only contract with an individual up to a cap of $60,000. So for example, if we hired a good vet for Sunland Park and ran there 55 days at the rate of $1,000 a day, that gets us to $55,000. We can only use that vet 5 more days in the calendar year. So when veterinarians are like unicorns right now, hard to find, it kills us. So we have to go solicit more vets, and it's been a struggle. But we do have some vets here in New Mexico currently, and we did advertise, and we do have one lady that we could possibly interview here to try to recruit to come to New Mexico. But the salary is going to have to be what's going to bring them here to New Mexico.
Well, $250,000 added to the budget, get that done? If we had 2?
No. I to get 2, I need minimum probably $400,000, or right under $360,000.
Additional.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So it'll take about $200,000 additional.
I think the vet salaries that there were probably around is going to be about $188,000 to $200,000 a year for each vet in order to get them to stay here in New Mexico and do a good job for us.
So how much increase over our budget right now?
Well, right now the vet that's being paid is coming out of our, she's a contractor, so out of our, I believe our 300 category. If we turn them into GovX employees, they'd come out of our 200 category, so we're going to need at least $400,000.
Okay.
$200,000 apiece to add 2 more vets.
Additional.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
Yep.
And I think you mentioned, or somebody mentioned, post-race follow-up. Does that mean the horses that are there, because that's the last day, are going to stay there?
I'm sorry, Commissioner, are you referring to the qualifiers?
Yeah.
Are they going to stay
in Ruidoso? I think you said follow-up at post-race follow-up.
Post-training. Yeah. They're after they train in the mornings, the horses will be followed by our regulatory vets and examined.
Okay.
And that'll be all 30 of those.
Yes. We're going to do our best to put some enhanced monitoring of these individual horses.
Okay.
We can only do our best.
Thanks. Okay, any questions for Mr. Trello? Mr. Ball?
Thank you, Commissioners. Rick Hall, CEO of Riedosa Downs. I have with me today the General Manager of Riedosa Downs, Mr. Ethan Render, as well as our legal counsel, Mr. Larry Bob. As you can tell.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry, Mr. Bob, but before we get rolling, can we acknowledge that Commissioner Branch is now here at 3:05? For the record.
Thank you.
Okay.
Pick up a little bit, Rick, please.
As you can tell, Commissioners, Mr. Trejo, myself and our staff have been having numerous conversations even prior to the race meetings starting. And I will echo on some of the things that he commented on. And I can tell you one thing that is a huge difference for us this year is our regulatory vet, Dr. Lowe, and the association vet, Dr. Butler. They've done an outstanding job. They've elevated things to a whole new level. With that being said, the process that we come to present to you today in hopes of receiving your blessing as well as any input any of the commissioners may have is we're going to have an All-American qualifiers barn. And what I mean by that, all the horses that qualified for the Futurity Derby and the Oaks will go into this barn. I've given each one of you a handout of some of the protocols that we've already discussed to have in place for this facility. There's many owners out there and trainers that are asking a lot of questions as of right now that we really couldn't answer until we come before this commission for the blessing. So once we go back, our intention is to meet with these trainers and owners and to make them understand our goal is the safety and welfare of the equine athlete as well as the integrity of racing within the state. We all know that we had an issue the last couple of weeks. We've addressed those issues, as Executive Director Trejo commented to earlier, taking samples, getting them off to the labs, getting them tested. We went above and beyond to try to do everything to help with the integrity and safety and welfare for the horses. So that is the reason that we're coming before you today with the qualifiers barn. We're dealing with 29 horses, 13 different trainers. We have former FBI agents involved in this as well. We did a barn area search last Wednesday. We had 6 former FBI agents. We had 2 DPS, former DPS agents. We had the investigator for the Racing Commission was there, as well as one of the integrity team members. We had the barn area locked down for over 3 hours and searching and looking. We didn't find anything, thank goodness, but we let them know that we're serious about the process that we're going through. We're at this time, as we speak, there's 16 surveillance cameras being installed in this 29 stall barn. A portion of the cameras are outside as well as inside. As Executive Director Trejo stated, there'll be regular vet checks by both the association vet and the regulatory vet. Our plan, we'll have human screening before you go into that barn, because we all know that Billy has a horse, I have a horse. My interest is my horse, his interest is his. So we're going to screen and limit access to the people that go in this barn. And what I mean by screen, if we feel that we need to take you inside and literally do a pat down, then that's going to happen. Every time you come in that barn, that's going to happen. We don't care who you are. If one of the commissioners show up, you're going to get screened. Where the logs will be kept for anyone entering that barn that's approved to enter, the time they show up and the time they leave. We will be looking. And we want to work with the trainers. We know that each horse is an individual. Each horse has different times and regimens that they need to adhere to. So we may have to take separate sets to that racetrack, or if we can get all the trainers to agree, we'll close the track and send all 29 horses at one time to work. So they'll be at the gates by themselves, they'll be galloping on that track by themselves, or whatever the conclusion we come to with the trainers. Any medication that's given to a horse, Each horse will have its own bin. So if there's an injectable given to that horse, we approve prior to going into the barn, to that stall, to that horse. Once that injectable is given, a therapeutic medication, we keep that syringe in that horse's file. Anything that's going to be given to that horse is going to go on record and be kept in that horse's file. As Executive Director Trejo alluded to, Dr. Lowe is bringing in her own CBC and chemistry machines so we can do blood analysis on the horses. Just like you and I, if you go get a physical, they're going to run your blood. They're going to check you. So we're doing the same thing with our horses. We're looking for a smooth transition here. We're not coming in here with an iron fist. We're coming in here to make sure that everybody has as fair as possible chance to win that race. It's up to the equine athlete. No enhancements, it's up to the equine athlete. That athlete will perform off of its own breeding. Let's see, we will be looking at these owners, and everybody knows there's a cost associated with this. We will be doing sharing cost. The surveillance alone with the guards that we're having there, we're talking about $40,000. But if you split that up between the different owner, we're around $1,300-$1,400. But we've also said, and this goes back to the regimen of the equine athlete, if you've got a night watchman or your groom that works with that horse every day, and you want that night watchman or that groom to stay with that horse at night, we're fine with that. We do not want to change your regimens. If you've got, we all know, they have goats in their barn areas as a calming effect for the horses. If that's what they're used to, that's what we want to do. If these horses are used to a plastic stall gate versus a metal stall gate, we'll work with them. Whatever it takes to make sure these horses are as comfortable as possible, we want to work with them. I understand moving a horse. There's horses that come into that barn area that have to be on the grounds 10 days prior, every day, for our futurities and derbies. It happens all the time. And I'm not saying it's an ideal situation, but it's a step that I think we must take to do what we need to do to take care of the equine. Stand for any questions, comments, or suggestions.
What barn are you using for this?
It's actually a private barn. It's right as you enter the stable gate, to the east of the stable gate there in the trailer parking, of course. All the rest of our barns were full.
Okay.
So when we come up with the idea, we contacted this owner, and this owner was more than happy to work with us to get this done. It has three sleeping quarters in there, one really nice sleeping quarter. I don't want anybody sleeping. Mm-hmm. If you're there, I want you there. But we have evidence rooms that we can use. We have restrooms, we have showers, and then we have a main office in the front. We have a 6-horse walker in one area and a 4-horse walker in another area.
So it's also fenced off, right?
Yeah, in the back side of it. But you'll have to come through our security to get into that hall.
Okay.
Because it's right up front.
Okay, because I was just wondering, because I know all your barns are full, and you know, doing what you're going to do, I said, well, that's a good idea. Get one of those private barns and it'll work out really well.
Chairman, as you're aware, we passed a rule many, many moons ago about any barn adjacent to the property has to fall under the guidelines of the rules and regulations of this commission.
Absolutely.
So we passed that rule. Because we did have an issue with that in here, because it was a private barn.
Right.
That being said, you're addressing some of the breakdowns based on it was drug-induced and had nothing to do with breaking down. It was overdose of drugs. That's kind of what you're...
That's our suspicions. I'm no vet. I'm no chemist. I don't know, quite honestly. All I know is the number of horses that went down that racetrack. We had 16 races on Friday, 16 on Saturday, and 15 on Sunday. And it's really hard to point a finger at that racetrack with that many horses. 301 for the futurity, and between the Derby and the Oaks, 130 something that went down that track. For these handful, you know, for the catastrophics on the racetrack, you know, and they were, I've been in New Mexico now for 32 years, and it looked very similar. I don't know, I'm not a vet, for the issues that we were having in 2010 and 2012.
Was that bitter?
That and other things. And it's just, you know, once again, I understand the apprehension of some of the trainers and owners, but with cooperation and everybody pulling together to take care of the horses, I just don't see this as that big an issue.
Well, the issues with the breakdowns is really...
That's an issue.
Big issue. That's a big issue, and that's hopefully, if we can get this drugging fixed, this will go away.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, we don't know what the problem is. That may be one, there might be more problems. We don't know. And that's why we're here, to put our heads together and see, get ideas from everyone and see what we come up with.
Well, and to paint a better picture for you so I understand the due diligence that's happening right now, I can tell you your vets and our vets are going to bed at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning. And they're waking up at 4 in the morning to vet check all these horses. This is not a lack of effort. This is more effort than I've ever seen at a racetrack. We have specifically told both the state vet and our association vet, expense is not an issue. If you need a test, tell us what you need. If you need equipment, tell us what you need. If you need to test 100 horses and the state doesn't have the budget for it, tell us. At this point in time, we will turn every stone over that we can turn over, and the vets are 100% behind it. And we wouldn't be where we are without them today, but when we say that they don't get to vet check every horse, I think when we went to bed on Friday night at 1 and they came back at 4:30 the next morning, their intent was to do, I think, 160 head between 4 a.m. and 10 a.m. They're giving everything they have. Our job is to support them. When Rick says he's not a vet, right now we're throwing everything out we can. If you need a vet from California, go to a vet from California. If you need a clinic in Colorado to help you, call them. I think everybody just needs to say, what else can we do to help? Because the vets are giving everything they can. The question is, what else can we give them to get more information so we can continue to do our job? But right now we have told them, whatever you need, we will do.
I just wanted to follow up, Commissioners. I mean, a lot of you know that I sat in your place for a number of years, and no one's pointing any fingers here in any specific direction. It's an overall approach by the Commission and by each of the tracks. In particular, what's getting ready to happen. And we're here today, hoping that we could get your approval, but if not the approval, then your blessing. That everything that they are doing at Rio Doso is within the rules and regulations as set forth by this commission, and is also set forth by the nomination blanks and terms and conditions that each of these owners and trainers have signed, particularly going into this last qualifier's barn. Particularly when you're having the best equine athletes in this particular field, in one particular area, it's really going to enhance, in my belief, the competition. And as the nomination blank states that Rio Doso Downs has the responsibility to its patrons, to the horsemen, and to the athletes themselves to reach the highest possible standards of performance and compliance, and to maintain a safe, fair, and impartial racing enterprise. Rio Doso holds itself to those standards of ethical conduct to protect the interest, safety, and welfare of all the racing participants, to create an environment of fairness and safety for the horses, owners, and customers in order to promote these goals as a condition. At the same time, as you well know, All of these horses that are currently at the track and those that will be, who have the opportunity to run for some of the most prestigious, had too much of that tuna salad, in any quarter horse race ever. And the fact that this is in New Mexico and we can showcase this, we deserve to do the best for all of these athletes. And each of the owners and trainers know this because when they signed the nomination forms, they said that they represent, that they agree to be bound by the rules and regulations by you, and also by the rules and regulations of Rio Doso Downs, and including any of the acts and decisions of the Racing Commission and any and all acts of Rio Doso Downs management. And so with that, we think that this method, as well as any other procedure that we can develop between now and the time that those horses race, will produce results that we will all be happy with and be proud of. And we wish that you will join us in this endeavor and give us our blessings. It's probably going to change on almost a daily or weekly basis concerning all of these individuals coming together, the 39 horses, or the 29 horses, and the 13 different trainers, in order to make this work. And it could be something, as an example going forward, for each one of these next year, or for each one of these at any of the racetracks in the state. And it's not that this is not unusual, because I think, as we have talked about, in talking about other races, I'm almost sure, and we talked about this at lunch today, that they do this at the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah.
And so think about having all the athletes in one particular spot and having them all go through the same regime, and then you're going to get the best results. So if we can't get your approval, we ask you for your blessing.
I got a question. Are you going to have a reporting done every day, daily, on everything?
Absolutely.
Okay. If you could, what are you doing with it? Are you going to keep it in file? You going to send it to the Racing Commission? What?
Recording? Or
no,
recording?
No, reporting.
Both.
Okay.
We've got a continuous recording process set up, and if you'd like to see the files, once this is completed and our protocols and standards that we put in place, we'd be happy to share them.
Okay. I would like you to share them with the governor's office. She is very, very concerned about this, and the reporting that you all have that you share with the governor's office, their chief of staff. You could get the, I think we have their email address here, and we need to share everything that we have with them, because she is very concerned about this, and we want to make sure that this is covered right. And your reporting would be once a week, every day? What?
Every day.
Every day?
You know, these vets, as Ethan alluded to earlier, are very dedicated to this process. And whatever they do will be documented. And believe it or not, we have some private vets that are helping us as well.
Okay.
And they're giving a lot of good information. For example, on one of the necropsies we performed, I'd never heard of extracting a bile duct before we did. Because the research at that time that vet was sitting at home did, and then called Dr. Lowe and said, do this, get this. So we've got a lot of people backing us already that, I mean, they're veterinarian practitioners in the barn area working for private clients, and they want to see high standards as well.
Absolutely.
And speaking of such, we had a American Quarter Horse Association Racing Council meeting last Thursday, and this was a very hot topic that we had during that council meeting. Matter of fact, that's how we finished it up. have with us today the executive director of the racing department for the AQHA, Ms. Janet Van Bever, and I'd like for her to speak if she would.
Sure.
Happy to. Do you have a specific thing you'd like me to address, or is it would you like me to?
Grab her chair, please.
Not very many gentlemen left in this world anymore, Jen. I'm sorry.
So, members of the Risk Office Committee, as you've introduced me already, I'm Janet Van Bever. I'm the Chief Racing Officer at American Quarter Horse Association. What I think important to this topic of conversation is I'm a lifelong horseman. I have had a very successful, large, multi-state training operation. I'm the only woman in American Quarter Horse Association's history to have amassed over 1,000 wins. And so I bring to this role that experience in the shed row, that value of the equine athlete, and most of all, that their well-being, the horse's well-being, is paramount to all of us. So I spend a lot of my time, when they approached me to take this job 7 years ago, I had retired from training to be home with my daughter, who I had raised on my own, and I wanted to be home with her during high school. The day she graduated, I got the call to come to see if I'd be interested in AQHA, and I said, I'm interested in this job because I think I can make a difference. So here I am 7 years later, still spending 10 hours a day trying to make a difference, and oftentimes it's 18 hours a day because I'm right shoulder to shoulder with these guys and this guy right over here. And we are working on different studies where we can establish a baseline heart rate to see if certain performance-enhancing drugs are creating a situation where a horse is racing under duress because of the medication, and we can use the heart rate to say that he should be on the vets list and keep him from competing. We're looking at that sort of study. We started that 3 years ago. I'm doing a monthly call with all the laboratories that do the equine analytical chemistry for, like, industrial that does it for you all, UC Davis, and some others, where we discuss the pharmacological effects of presumed performance-enhancing drugs. We're talking about what we are seeing in the paddock and the horses, what we're seeing when they go to the track, how they behave in the gates, and what might be causing that behavior. And then we start adding things to our testing panels to just try to take a stab at seeing if we can create, first of all, catch those that are seeking an unfair advantage and create a deterrent for the rest of them. So those are part of the things that I work on every single day. I try to roll up my sleeve and work with you all, help carry the torch in our effort to protect the industry and to protect the horse, and go a step farther than you might be able to because of the restraints of your government position. I work with an independent lab on samples that I get and intelligence I get. And once I learn that there's a possibility of a performance-enhancing drug that we're not testing for on the jurisdiction level, I call Fred Hartman at Industrial, I call Ben Moeller at UC Davis, and I say, hey, we've got some credible intel on this particular drug. Let's add it to your testing panel and see if you can find something. Through that process, we found ephedrine a few years ago, and I believe we saved horses' lives, because that's when they took that out of their cocktail and we stopped seeing as many horses drop on the racetrack. But as time evolves, they change their recipe. They come up with something new. But know that I'm here working in conjunction with everybody else in the room to try to do my part to help protect our horse and protect our industry. And the last thing though I'll touch upon is our integrity teams. You all call them enforcement teams. I think that will play nicely into Rio Doce Dam's effort to have a consolidated effort to deter the cheaters and to protect the horse. So I'm proud that we're able to deploy such team members with expertise in racing to help the consolidated effort in this endeavor. So, did I touch on anything you want to
mention? So how many members do you have on this enforcement team?
Oh, we have.
I mean, no, but here in, let's say, Rio Doce.
Okay, I'm not sure. Lisa can answer that better. I tell you why. Because I'm a lifelong horseman, I let my staff handle that. I keep myself at arm's length because I don't want anybody to think that there's any impropriety. And so some of it's budgetary because our racing council directed us a few years ago that it would be contributory expenses. So we will match what the track or the jurisdiction will put up. So it's all on what everybody's budget. So Lisa, you're here. How many integrity team members, that's all you, or do we have coming this week?
So we had four for the trials. I've been put on a budget, so from AQAJ. So we only have so much money, and that's the amount of money that I have. So
for four? And what are we going to have for the finals?
I'm bringing in additional four FBI agents for
okay.
sure, two to four, and possibly some DPS and local police will be there as well. We're possibly going to do some other checks, random checks here soon.
That will help. Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, you know, despite the budgetary problems that we all have, you know, this is an example of all our forces joining together in the synergy that's developed with Rick Bob bringing in his team, the AQHA getting people here from other jurisdictions, and then us utilizing our staff that we have here, although it's only three, but still, all those together build a nice little boots on the ground army that can do some damage back there and enhance the integrity.
I've got a feeling you're going to get volunteers from other jurisdictions helping you out because they want this cleared up also. And that's just, we're a big family here, and we want to help each other make sure that we get this thing cleared up.
I'm of an opinion that most of our breakdowns are due to enhancing drugs to horses. And that's what we're here to stop. We can't tell you not to who can come train at your track. We don't have that jurisdiction. But I'd ask the track owners that those people need to be barred from the track. Even if we don't catch them, they need to be barred from the track. Right?
You've never seen me to be bashful.
Okay. I expect it. The bad actors, if we don't catch them, we don't have authority to do that, but you guys do. So I'm going to put the onus on you guys to ban the bad actors from your track. And anybody affiliated from, you know, wives, ex-wives, paper trainers are hard to catch, but we got to put effort into that. And
I have a plan.
Do you? And then another thing, most of our breakdowns are ship-ins, is that correct?
Correct.
We need to do a protocol for that somehow. You got something for that?
Yes.
Anyway, you do have our blessings, but being a commission, we can't vote on it because then they could come to us and say, you know, they promoted this, and they could beat us in court. They can't beat you in court according to your entry blank. That entry blank protects you guys. We have no protection. You understand that?
Got legal counsel sitting there.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, you're talking about the ship-ins, and you and I discussed it several weeks ago. Sometime after this meeting, between now and possibly the end of the year, I've got a proposal I'd like to bring to the commission that trainers that are at a licensed racetrack, it can be Albuquerque, it can be Lausau, it can be Rio del Sur, wherever they're at, and trainers at licensed training facilities will have preference over those that aren't. And when I say that, I'm not excluding anybody. If you're doing your training at home, which we've seen a lot of problems with that over the last several years, you have to be on the grounds 10 days prior. And the reason I want you on the grounds 10 days prior is so that regulatory vet and our association vet has the opportunity to spend time with your horse. That's something else that we haven't done. You've got to be in there 4 hours before laces, and some of them are late. We penalize them, but that doesn't take us through the process we need to be going through.
Start scratching.
And well, we do. And then, but the horses that are at a licensed racetrack have vets looking at them, licensed training facilities. At a licensed training facility, I want a vet inspection brought with you 10 days prior to your race, 3 days prior to you showing up on the grounds. And if it's 4 days, I'm not going to accept it. you gotta have these horses vet checked and make sure they're good to go, not just show up. And for example, I had an individual this year, never happened in my career, had two scratches in one day, and four for the month of July. I quit taking his entries. If that's the way you do business, I don't wanna do business with you.
On your haulings, do you have all haulings for, to work the horses also?
Oh, sure.
Okay, would you require something on that?
You should.
Because we have quite a few injuries on just working the horses. And I wonder what's the percentages of these horses being worked at your track that are haulings? I mean, would you know that?
I mean, like, on an average car per day, it would run in excess of 40% haulings. Just a normal overnight.
Right, right.
You know, and I've seen it as high as 60% on an overnight. And they're all haulings. And we got them to show up, those that were on LASIX 4 hours prior. That's a problem.
Yeah.
We don't get to look at horses. But Dr. Butler takes this very personal. And she doesn't hesitate to scratch a horse.
Because I think that's where most of the problems are you hauling horses? Because there's no control over these horses wherever they're at. And they come in here and you get what you get. Especially when they're working the horses at your track, right. You see. And that will give you a black eye if something happens there. Even though they're not on your property, I mean, as far as stable as your property. But you bring them in, they work out there, and something happens, it's that guy towards you.
Well, and, you know, I'll just say it, mass tracks have been a problem in New Mexico for quite some time. And I believe it was in 2010, I had an owner call me and say his horse was crippled because of the track. So I go back and I do my due diligence on the horse. The horse left on a Sunday. Owner didn't know him. Of course, come back, according to its veterinarian, unsound. I call the owner and say, where'd your horse go on Sunday? He said, my horse didn't go anywhere. He said, I got an in and out slip right here, and him says he left.
That trace.
Yeah. So it's not just the in, sometimes it goes out too, the other way around. And that's a huge problem.
Yeah, I could imagine.
They do it without telling the owners, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry?
They do it without telling the owner.
How's he going to know? I mean, he's not around. Jeez, that's terrible.
That's the bad actors, not the good guys, the bad actors.
Yep.
That goes back to the
majority of our trainers on the backside, their hearts in the right place.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
On the backside, it's the outside element that we fight with.
Yeah.
Any other questions here? Any comments?
Sharon, if you would, Chris McElane is here, and I know that he's had experience.
Thank you.
In barns, in qualifiers barns as well, over the year, and I'd like for him to speak if you would, okay. Please.
Karen Fishers, in my previous life working in the state of New Jersey, we had the Meadowlands Racetrack, which was the premier standard bred racetrack in the world, much like Rio, so the quarter horse industry. Standard bred industry, if you know anything about it, has had issues in the with drugs and medication, abuses of medication, and a lot of the racetracks took it upon themselves to create essentially what they call detention barns for pre-race housing of the horses. This would take place approximately 24 hours before the race. Secured barn area, much, you know, very, very similar to the template that's being put here. Security guards, restricted access, restrictions in terms of what could be brought in there, who could go in there. And it was found to be very effective in terms of the performance of certain, you know, trainers and horses that they race 1 week at a track where there's no detention barn, and miraculously they were setting world records. And when they were in the detention barns during the big state races, their performance performances were quite different. You know, the rest of the field came back to them, so to speak. So we found them very effective. We've sort of started that in the industry, and a lot of the harness tracks have adopted that over the years. So, we have found them effective. Logistically for the, and with standardbreds too, a lot of them stable off-site. It's very, one-track stabling's not very predominant on the thoroughbred harness side. At our thoroughbred racetracks, it's a little more logistically challenging in some ways. We don't have premier races like Rio Doso does from that standpoint. But, what Rick has outlined there is very much a similar template, and, I would hope we'd have similar results from that standpoint.
We do too.
When you're shipping some stuff, you guys might want to check into Kentucky, because if you ship into any track in Kentucky, you're out of state, or whenever you get to at your vet, look at it and send a letter over saying the horse is okay to grow as well.
I know you know who you are, but state your name when you speak for the minutes.
Larry Fondo Jr. So in Kentucky, if you're at the track in Indiana and you want to go and you're running in another track in Kentucky, you have to have your vet send over a letter. It's supposed to be before entry, but they let it slide a little bit, but it has to be vet checked. It's really before the horse was entered. The way they did, they got different protocols now. And I think actually got self thinned out a lot from shipping in and all that, not being checked until the day of the race, which is still being checked, but they do get pre examined way out. So that might be something if you wanted to check in.
I think that's what Mr. Bott just addressed earlier about having them bed checked before they're hauled in, which is very important. Thank you.
Larry Fontenot is one of our stewards.
He's our steward.
Thank you, Larry.
Anyone else out there?
Mr. Chairman, we do have Dr. Victoria Lowe on Zoom if the commissioners or anyone had any questions for her.
I have no questions.
I got a question for her. Where is she?
She's no picture.
I just asked her to unmute.
Dr. Lowe, are you there?
I'm here.
In your opinion, how many vets would it take to check the whole field for the trials? Not the finals, the trials. All of them, not just 20% of them, 40% of them, all of them. How many vets on staff would you need to do that?
Dr. Butler and I got through 150 out of the 160 for trials. And it was a rush day, so probably three would make it easier. Two is total if you're going to work pretty fast and have somebody with you writing down notes and know where all the horses are. We went through the week before to find where all the horses were, so we were able to make the most of our time. I think it'd be beneficial if we had two vets all the time before the trials. All the breakdowns that we did have, only one of those horses had a pre-race exam before a catastrophic injury.
Okay, good. Thank you. So only one of those horses that broke down had a pre.
That's what I'm told. Yes.
So the ones that broke down didn't have a pre-race exam.
You can confirm with her. I think that's what she said.
Yeah. So that seems to me pretty important.
Yes, and it all comes down to resources and the agency getting funding to hire these new veterinarians.
All right, we'll work on that.
It's on my wish list.
Holly can help us, right?
All right. Well, I think we have a consensus of blessing.
Thank you. Appreciate a lot of blessings.
We do. Well, we wish you all well, and I think we're on the right track over here in Davis. But if you need any other assistance from us, let us know. Mr. Trejo, and go from there. But I think the only way this is going to be done right is every, all the tracks stick together. I mean, all the tracks have to be on the same page on this thing and go from there. Because I know Albuquerque is going to have some big races coming up. Donnie, you all have to figure out a way. If this thing works well here, figure out a way to do the same thing and so on and so forth, because that's the only way we're going to control this. You have that $1 million race coming up. You need to look into it, because we don't want the same thing happening here in Albuquerque. So this, the tracks, a lot of this is going to be put on the tracks because you guys, it's your track.
The bad actors point to the $1 million races, and you have one now, so.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's
makes a lot of difference.
It's all difference.
About the money. They don't, yeah. They don't care who they hurt, what they hurt. They're just, quite frankly, they're animals in my opinion.
So, in other words, these people go after the big money and stuff. You have big races. I know Zia has a couple of fraternities over there. They're not as big as the All-American, but they're pretty good size. You got to take extra precaution on all those and make sure the due diligence is done.
Their overnights are huge. Kudos.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
We're good?
Yep.
We're good. Okay, we're adjourned.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.